Good morning. This morning I'm going to be reading from 1 Samuel 5 and talking about that. Let's pray first. Dear Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the way you teach us through your Bible. And I thank you for this opportunity to share what you put on my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Samuel 5. When the Philistines captured the Ark of God, they brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it into the house of Dagon and set it up beside Dagon. And when the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, behold, Dagon had fallen face downward on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and put him back in his place. But when they rose early the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen face downward on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both his hands were lying cut off on the threshold. Only the trunk of Dagon was left to him. This is why the priests of Dagon and all those who enter the house of Dagon do not tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. The hand of the Lord was heavy against the people of Ashdod, and he terrified and afflicted them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. And when the men of Ashdod saw how things were, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is hard against us and against Dagon our God." So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" They answered, "Let the ark of God of Israel be brought around to Gath." So they brought the ark of the God of Israel there. But after they had brought it around, the hand of the Lord was against the city, causing a very great panic. And he afflicted the men of the city, both young and old, so that tumors broke out on them. So they sent the ark of God to Akron. But as soon as the ark of God came to Akron, the people of Akron cried out, "They have brought around to us the ark of the God of Israel to kill us and our people." They sent, therefore, and to gather all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it return to its own place. There it may not kill us and our people." For there was a deathly panic throughout the whole city. The hand of God was very heavy there. The men who did not die were struck with tumors, and the cry of the city went up to the heaven. To recap that passage quickly, basically, three things happen. First thing is their God's humiliation. The Philistines place the ark in Dagon's temple, but each morning they find Dagon fallen on his face before the ark, signifying the superiority of the Israelite God. Then there's the plague of tumors. As the ark is moved between the Philistine cities, the people are struck with plague of tumors, demonstrating God's wrath. And finally, the desperation of the Philistines. The suffering becomes so intense that the Philistines finally decide to return the ark to the Israelites to end the plague. So from that, we can realize God had a purpose. And my thoughts and what I've learned, I'm going to share now. In 1 Samuel 4, the Israelites are struggling in battle with the Philistines. They trot out their God or their good luck charm, the Ark of the Covenant, and things go even worse. And the ark is captured. Probably should at least mention here, if they had gone to God instead of the ark, things definitely would have gone better. So now there is nothing between the ark and the Philistines, meaning God didn't need to teach his people a lesson. It was now time for a lesson for the Philistines. The captured ark was placed next to Dagon, the god of the Philistines, who it seems was kind of a fish man, torso of a man, tail of a fish, merman, if you will. It didn't go well. At first, Dagon is just tipped over. Then his head and hands are broken off and land on the threshold. This brings two observations to mind. The first is just literary. The story reminds me of most children's books where there is repeated action with one new thing added. Think a fly went by. The second is a great example of confirmation bias. Let's not realize that the God of Israel is powerful. No, let's make the threshold where the broken parts of the merman fell be revered and never to be stepped on again. Talk about tunnel vision. You might think, not very rational, but we do it all the time. While this was happening, the people of Ashdod felt the heavy hand of the Lord. The text says they were terrified and afflicted with tumors. When I first read this, I was thinking cancer. Through additional research, it seems more like boils or possibly hemorrhoids. This seems particularly poetic justice to me. Something like God saying, "Mess with my ark and I'll be a pain in your butt." I'm sure the Philistines didn't find this even a bit humorous. In fact, it led to widespread panic. They were fearing for their lives. I can't really tell from the text how many people died, but the fear was contagious and produced great anxiety. So Ashdod said, hey, this isn't going so well. Let's send this ark down the road to Gath. Same thing. God's hand was heavy, and the men of Gath suffered. Panic, tumors, death. They didn't much care for this. So before long, they thought, I have an idea. Let's send this down the road to Akron. Again, panic ensues. Tumors appear. Let's send the ark back to where it came from. I'll bet the Philistines were pretty pumped when they captured the ark and brought it home. Probably more than one husband went home and bragged about the cool plunder they triumphantly were bringing home. One scholar suggested it was about 7 months from taking the ark to not wanting it anywhere around and bringing it back with, it turns out, a peace offering of sorts, golden rats and tumors. Yep, maybe golden hemorrhoids. More about that in 1 Samuel 6. This slice of history gives us a reminder of how flawed our actions are when we rely on our own wisdom. First, in chapter 4, the Israelites, after a failure in battle, come up with the idea to use a talisman to give their army the boost it needed instead of God himself. Then on three different occasions, the smartest people in the land, the Philistines' best idea was to send our problems down the road. Work short-term, but not a long-term solution. Why is it that nobody thought, hey, this God of the Israelites seems to be pretty powerful? They parked the ark next to Dagon, assuming it to be just another inanimate object, and it caused humiliation to their God and Tumor-ageddon. Probably expecting too much out of a sworn enemy of God's chosen people, but still, nobody thought about looking in a different direction for divine guidance? Hard to figure. When I asked my wife, Jane, what she thought was an application of the text, she rather quickly came up with a catchy phrase, "You can't put God in a box." Very true. Think of England's Boxing Day. On December 26th, Christmas is boxed up and put away until it's needed next year. That is precisely how the Israelites and Philistines treated God's ark in 1 Samuel 4 and 5. The same box that was used to judge the actions of the Israelites was used to show the omnipotent power of God's Almighty. It is a reminder we are much better off searching for God's guidance and leading than we are when we tell God where we're going and ask if he wants to tag along. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your message. I thank you for your book. I thank you for this time to think about and contemplate how you would have us live. I thank you for the message again here that we should not let our circumstances be our compass, but rather look to you each day for guidance and trust and rely on you for our wisdom and not on what's going on around us. We pray these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.